Good morning and welcome to, well, whatever the fuck this is, actually. Just trying to keep up with current events happening around the world, science and technology, world news, that sort of stuff. Just like to be in the know, so to speak. All right then, let's find out what's happening. Airbnb predicts significant travel rebound. Okay, that's really great. Airbnb has said it is preparing for a significant travel rebound as the world emerges from coronavirus lockdowns. However, the company said it was still too early to predict how the business would fare this year. Company's revenue dropped 30% last year to $3.4 billion as COVID-19 restrictions kept many from traveling. Yeah, no shit, man. I mean, just being able to travel around the world was just such a luxury. And, you know, nobody really gave a shit about it anymore. You know, it's just, okay, everybody's traveling, you know, going to Africa, going to South America, going to Asia. And that's just that used to be such a normal thing. And now it's just like you hear somebody and they say, oh, I went to, in my case, it's mostly friends who say, oh, I've been to India. You have? How was it, man? You know, that excitement is just back to travel. I think it's going to definitely make us appreciate the things that we've been taking for granted for like decades now. So I really am looking forward to being able to travel again and, you know, having the world in my backyard again, so to speak. What else going on? All right. The US has passed a sweeping LGBTQ+ rights bill. I hope I've said that right. The key bill, which amends the 1964 Civil Rights Act, passes 224 to 216, but faces uncertain future in evenly divided Senate. The House has passed the Landmark Equality Act, taking LGBTQ+ Americans one step closer to winning legal protection from discrimination. That's really encouraging. I mean, a world where you can express yourself regardless of who you are, it's just a better world, isn't it? Let's see what else is going on. Oh, there's an interesting news article about Russian diplomats having to leave North Korea on hand-powered rail trolleys. On the one hand, that looks like a huge amount of fun. But if I'm trying to leave North Korea, that might not be my dream. Coronavirus pandemic meant the envoys and their families had to travel home in an unconventional way. In normal times, most diplomats can expect to end a foreign posting with an official, if not always fond, farewell from their hosts and a comfortable journey back to their native country. But for one group of Russian envoys and their families, the coronavirus pandemic meant there was only one way home, under their own steam on a hand-pushed trolley. Wow. I mean, you know, there's so much to talk about when we talk about North Korea. But of late, there's just been a new video is propped up. I think Lad Bible TV is the one that's recently published it. It's a video of a North Korean girl, and it's an interview that's held in English, actually. She speaks English very well, and she narrates, you know, how life was in North Korea for her, you know, before she got out. If you have the time in the day, search for that video. I mean, it's going to make you appreciate what you have so much more. And that's not even the reason why. I think we should understand what the human experience is. And to understand that, you know, it's very important to know what's going around in places where you normally don't get to know, you know, a lot of news from. And, you know, she's talking about all the ways that they have, you know, they have their rights stripped away from them, stuff that you and I take for granted. The amount of food that you eat, it's specified in grams. It used to be specified in grams. I'm not sure if that stuff is still current, but in her life it was. And it's just shocking. It's amazing, it's beautiful, it's heartwarming, and it's shocking, but it's, I really, really encourage you to check that video out. All right. Coronavirus live news. France may impose regional lockdowns. South Korea starts vaccinations. Yeah, man. Europe is, I mean, it's still going through this pandemic at a pretty high intensity. Things were a lot better for a while. But now it looks like they're starting to become worse again. And then another week they just look a little bit better again. So it's really fluctuating hard. The French Prime Minister says worrying COVID spread in 20 areas. Global death toll passes 2.5 million. Brazil death toll passes 250,000. For France at least, there's more regional lockdowns that are in the works. You gotta fight it, man. I think as much as I hate, being locked down, I think I don't know if there's a better solution to this problem. I really wish that everybody had started wearing, at least in Europe, that's a big thing, because the access to FFP2 masks, for instance, was, first of all, recommended at a very, very late stage. Everybody was just using whatever cloth to cover their mouth and using public transportation or whatever. And I'm sure it had at least some positive impact, but not enough. And the government guidelines have only recently come out encouraging people to buy FFP2 masks. And this is more or less the first time that these masks have been available at a reasonable price in supermarkets and in places we can get medicines. Fuck, I know the German word for it, but I've completely forgotten the fucking English word. Pharmacies, there you go. All right. Let's see what else is up. High hopes drones join fight to save New Zealand's rarest dolphin. You know, drones get a bad rep, honestly. I mean, I have been a drone pilot for 7 years, 6-7 years. I know that people are instinctively scared of drones on some level, on some fundamental level. I mean, yes, it is a huge, privacy risk. If you have some, give a creep a drone, that's like basically giving somebody access to your balcony or whatever. In some dimensions, yes, that's possible. But, I think that that's just the tip of a very beautiful iceberg, because you have that, yes, that slight possibility that somebody's going to misuse it. And, they're noisy. They're like the human invented mosquitoes or, I don't know, a fly buzzing. It's as irritating as that. I mean, I'm a pilot and I still feel that exact same way. So it's totally understandable. But I think on the other hand, it's just the benefits they bring are tremendous, because there's so many things that you cannot do with manned aircraft that you can do with smaller, lightweight, easy to use, and fundamentally cheap to fly drones. And a lot of this application is now cropping up with scientific stuff as well. Because in the beginning, I think, filmmakers were the first to adopt it, and that's more or less the context in which I have used them as well. But for science, they're tremendous instruments. The number of Maui dolphins have been slashed by fishing and other threats, with only an estimated 63 adults remaining in the world. The lives of New Zealand's smallest and most endangered dolphins will soon become less elusive as drones take to the skies to study their locations, habits, and numbers. I really, really wish that that we're able to help these dolphins. I mean, I'm kind of conflicted about how I feel about, conservationism, because I mean, I'm 100% for it, but I just don't know how much sense it makes at this point to, bring back numbers of, species that we probably have been responsible for the overall destruction of in the first place. I mean, I feel like all the conservation steps that people are making are 100% necessary, but at the same time, we're not doing nearly enough to, restrict the damage that we're inflicting on every other species in the world in the first place. So we're making these tiny, however incrementally tiny, steps to conserve what is remaining. But at the same time, we're taking, it's like shooting whales in the fucking face at the same time where somebody's saying, oh, I gotta rescue this fish. I wish there were more conservationists on the world, and I wish that people kind of more actively understood the damage they're causing to the environment and took direct steps, at least in their lives, to be able to reduce some of the impacts. And I think that's going to be a much more, a much more robust conservation effort than just saving specific species, although that is a great start and is totally necessary. There is some news about Britney Spears. Conservation, this word is getting me today. Conservatorship. Fucking hell. That tells you how long I haven't been speaking English. Father Jamie Spears saved Britney's life, says lawyer in response to the hashtag Free Britney movement that has advocated for the pop star. Fans of Britney Spears who believe her father should be ousted from his role overseeing her conservatorship, got it right, have it so wrong, quote, his lawyers have said. Yeah, I have to admit I don't know enough about this specific case, but I've only been, you know, recently following the hashtags and kind of getting an insight into the life of Britney Spears and, you know, just learning more about stuff that's been going on in her life. I mean, I don't think people understand fame and how it changes and affects human beings on the level, you know, to which she's been subjected to it. There are many people who are, you know, who don't give a shit about, you know, all this stuff, and that's fair as well, man. But I mean, for instance, Craig Ferguson many years ago released a video about how, you know, he is in defense of Britney Spears and how he, you know, how difficult life must be for her and how sympathetic we should be towards her and, you know, her situation and stuff like that. And I believe for a long time we lost that, and it's really great that we're getting back towards a world where we give a shit about what happens to Britney Spears. I'm not a pop fan, but it's important to take care of our people, our musicians, and regardless of the genre they play in, man. All right, Twitter's getting a new feature. News article reports Twitter to launch paid, quote, super follow, end quote, function that allows users to charge for content. Social media network also announces Spaces, a Clubhouse competitor that lets users participate in audio chats. Twitter has announced it will launch a super follow feature, which lets users charge followers for access for exclusive content. Twitter's branching out, y'all. Yeah, I mean, this is a source of revenue for people. This is how, you know, some people are, you know, that's their job. They tweet stuff. So I guess this is more towards them and less towards anybody else, I guess. This news article about words matter, how New Zealand's clear messaging helped beat COVID. 1 year on from the nation's first case of coronavirus. Fuck, there's a New Zealand name and I'm 100% going to fucking botch it. I'm just going to spell it first, okay? So you don't judge me. A-O-T-E-A-R-O-A. I'm going to say Aotearoa. Aotearoa. Aotearoa has largely eliminated the virus. Communications played a key part in its success. Coronavirus latest updates. Stay at home, protect the NHS, save lives. That's stuff that's going on in Britain. What we know about the California coronavirus variant. So that's what we need, another variant. It has been detected in 19 countries and has a concentration in California. But should we be worried about this strain? Two new studies suggest that a COVID-19 variant first discovered in California has been spreading rapidly through the state. The findings come as the U.S. ramps up its efforts to track and catalog various forms of the mutating virus and raise fresh questions about the circulation of the coronavirus in the country. I mean, I'm really glad that at least you're getting, you know, what's the opposite of fake news? Is it just news? I'm confused. It's so good to, you know, fucking get actual information from the US. It's been a long time, guys. So, good job. Okay, so what else is going on in the world? Let's see. The Queen is encouraging people to get the COVID vaccine jab. I mean, if you know me, you know that I don't really particularly give a shit about kings and queens. But yeah, this seems reasonable queen-ish behavior. The Queen said her COVID-19 jab didn't hurt at all in a video call with health officials leading vaccine deployment across the UK. The monarch praised the vaccine program, describing its speed and the rapid progress as remarkable, and in a morale boost, told the health leaders to keep up the good work. Reasonable so far. Four children have been thrown to safety from burning building in Istanbul. Thrown to safety? That's Interesting choice of words. A mother rescued four children by throwing them from the window of a burning apartment block in Istanbul, Turkey. Neighbors caught the children with blankets spread out below as black smoke billowed from the building. Local authorities said that the children were in good health. I mean, I guess if your child is in danger, you're gonna do anything to, you know, anything that gives you a chance of saving them. But damn, those kids have a story to tell. Let's take a look at science news. Okay. So Biden's COVID plan is just the beginning. Thank you, Joe Biden. On some level, I almost miss Donald Trump. I mean, it feels perverted to say this, but there was just so much chaos and anything could happen. And every single day was just a total, you know, mystery because you could just... I mean, if you're getting bored or whatever, I mean, this is at the expense of a lot of my American friends, and I love the country and the principles behind the country and stuff like that. So don't get me wrong, but it was fucking hilarious when Trump was running shit. Okay, so there's a recent article. I think I've been reading a few interesting, you know, versions of this article and, you know, coverage of on this. But apparently, AI is now being used to give old school applications from different, you know, older platforms. They're now getting, coming to life into newer platforms. And it's basically machine learning pawns old school Atari games. That's the article on the Scientific American. You can call it the revenge of the computer scientist, end quote. An algorithm that made headlines for mastering the notoriously difficult Atari 2600 game, Montezuma's Revenge, can now beat more games, achieving near-perfect scores, and helps robots explore real-world environments. Okay, this is a slightly different article than what I had in mind, but there's been an interesting use of machine learning and artificial intelligence where applications that were super old are now being ported into modern platforms. So, I'm really looking forward to playing Prince on Windows 10. Or actually, to be really honest, to be completely, genuinely 100% honest, I'm really looking forward to those very old games that you can play on an iPad or on a phone, but without necessarily having to use like a simulator and stuff like that. It's just a standalone app that allows you to play this. I don't know why, but I don't like simulators that much. And right now, I know the gamers in my audience, if there are any, are screaming, "Why? What the fuck are you talking about?" Yeah, that's the way it is. Mountain mammals climb higher to beat the heat. Yeah, I mean, this is you kind of expect it because everybody knows about those mountain. I'm not sure if it's goat or sheep, but it's just probably goats that you know. There's tons of pictures of them just standing on a near vertical rock, just finding tiny modulations on the surface and standing. But there are tons of these smaller mammal species as well. And I'm reading from the Scientific American. I'm actually watching a photograph of a little... I have no idea what this animal is. So it's a yellow-bellied marmot. It's a Marmota flaviventris. Rocky Mountain National Park, Colorado. Over the last few decades, the article reads, the tiny shrew has migrated more than 4,000 feet up on the sides of the Rocky Mountains. Scientists believe it's trying to escape the heat as climate change warms the mountain range. And it's not the only one. Dozens of other species are also scrambling higher up the slopes. That's sad, man. That's just sad. I think, you know, there's all these videos of, you know, animals trying to adapt to a world that we're warming up. And none of them are pleasant. There is an article about streaming algorithms damaging film. That's interesting. It's from the BBC. And there is a quote from Martin Scorsese as well. I think I'm gonna read this. Okay. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Film director Martin Scorsese isn't such a fan of streaming. In an essay for Harper's Magazine, he's warned that cinema is being devalued, demeaned, and reduced by being thrown under the umbrella term content. He specifically criticized a lack of curation on streaming platforms, saying algorithms which provide recommendations based on individual or collective viewing habits are damaging the art form and treat the viewer as a consumer and nothing else. It's not the first time that Scorsese, the Oscar winner behind classics including Raging Bull and Goodfellas, has spoken out against the state of the industry in 2019. He bemoaned the multiplex's reliance on superhero movies, comparing Marvel films to theme park rides. Yeah, I mean, I'm 100% with Martin Scorsese on this one. Streaming is just fundamentally, I think it's on the one hand, it's pandering to the lowest common denominator, and it's really just trying to sell you shit that you're going to watch. It's not, I think the theatrical element of it is lost. I mean, of course, you know, once you're watching some kind of content that, you know, that fits you, that the personalization aspect of it, I think once you start watching, then you're hooked, and that's, you know, you lose awareness of the fact that you're recommending, you know, you're watching something that is being recommended by an algorithm. And then all that matters is the content itself. But I think A, how you get to the content, and B, the experience of it all, you know, I think it's fundamentally changed quite a bit. And I'm not sure that that's the right direction. I think, so the best way to find out what to watch is word of mouth. But then what value is, you know, word of mouth if it's just coming from a friend who's been recommended something by an algorithm in the first place? So it's a very complex thing to understand and decode and, you know, really appreciate, you know, all the way down to the root and the depths of it. But I really feel like more should be done in making the experience of streaming more communal and more interactive between people. I think that's what's missing in this, because right now, 100% agree to Martin Scorsese, it's just all these silos, you know, where it's like a silo between you and the content you're going to watch. You're looking at it from almost microscopically, and even though you're passing through titles, I think it's very weird. As a content creator myself, I feel, you know, I feel like there's a difference between what it is I do and what it is Martin Scorsese does. And, you know, it's to blanket all of it in one term and then to treat it equal, I think somehow there is something fucked up about that, and it has to change, especially for like feature films. I think you cannot blanket feature films with other art forms. It deserves its own attention, its own community, and its own standards of how such content is delivered. Although, massive caveat here is that I do love certain aspects of, you know, Spotify streaming and in this case Netflix streaming as well, because it does help me find new stuff if I'm not communicating about this stuff actively. Because in my very specific case, because I live in a different country and I have a vast variety of friends that are from here rather than where I am from, you know, I feel like the kind of recommendations that I get, most people that I'm friends with aren't that much into movies. So actually, almost everybody's into movies. Let me correct that. The people around me aren't into stand-up comedy as much as I am, right? That is a fact. I mean, who would have thought people aren't into stand-up comedy in Germany? But yeah, and I really like the ability to just explore stand-up comedy. And you know, back when the coronavirus lockdown hadn't started, I think even before that, actually, Bill Burr, who's a very famous comedian, was in Germany, and that was like, it was so incredible seeing him perform live. My wife and I went to Munich to catch one of his shows, and it was brilliant. And I just don't get recommendations, like, you know, finding out about these incredible artists. But because Netflix knows that I like Bill Burr, it's going to recommend me similar stuff, and that does open me up to a category of things. But my original criticism, and actually my alignment with Martin Scorsese's original opinion about this, is still aligned, that I feel like it's just not optimized yet. Wow, that was very wordy. Okay, there's an article that I've been kind of interested in. Astronomers just upsized an iconic black hole. Cygnus X1, the first black hole ever discovered, is significantly bigger than previously believed. I mean, a lot of my friends are physicists, and I just love talking to them about this stuff because it's just, just the scale of this is something that is so wild, and people don't think about it at all in their day. And I don't know about most people, but I'm always kind of aware that I'm on a wet rock spinning across a ball of fire, and, you know, we're fucking aliens with sriracha sauce or whatever. Scientists think stellar mass black holes, which contain up to a few times the sun's mass, form when giant stars die and collapse in on themselves. The first black hole ever discovered was Cygnus X1, located within the Milky Way in the constellation of Cygnus, the Swan. Astronomers saw the first signs of the black hole in 1964 via gas it sucked away from a closely orbiting blue supergiant star. As the gas spiraled into the black hole, it became so hot that it emitted high-energy X-rays and gamma rays that satellites could detect. A trio of studies in 2011 suggested that Cygnus X1 was located about 6,000 light-years from Earth, but new research suggests the black hole is actually about 7,000 light-years away. Because other characteristics of the object are calculated based on distance, the new calculation argues that Cygnus X1 is quite a bit larger than scientists had realized, says the Scientific American. Wow. Yeah, I mean, if you're a physicist, I mean, hats off to you. I fucking love you guys, so keep doing the good work that you're doing. Well, all right then, that about also wraps it up for me, and I hope you have a kick-ass day, and you come one step closer to your dreams, man. Fucking have an amazing day. Cheers. See you next time.